Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brant. Rose and I would like to welcome you to a new week here on the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, April 7th, 2014. We're live noon to 1 each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and we're streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And then thanks to Rose, we post the program, make it available podcast-wise within an hour of its conclusion, so you can listen on your schedule anytime, anywhere in the world. Our Monday Political Face-Off today features commentators Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers. Then at the bottom of the hour, the monthly discussion on military and foreign affairs with General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. Every Monday, we do kick things off with the face-off. Bruce Ash is now in his third term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Jeff Rogers, Tucson attorney, is former chair of the Democrat Party in Pima County. The Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1885. No.
Yeah, Moe's that old. Him and Franzi about the same age.
Yeah, 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I was over at Moe's on Saturday picking up some work I had done, some framing, and of course came back absolutely beautiful. I'll also be calling on Mo to do some measuring for mirrors in the bathroom. So Mo is the go-to guy for anything to do, Bruce Ash, with framing.
Hey, does Mo do stuff like if you had family photos and all that, does he do any of that kind of stuff too?
Oh, yeah.
Because I just got a whole treasure trove of transparencies from my dad's house that we liberated, you know, after he passed away. And I want to do, you know, a bunch of photos, kind of like a big collection of them. And
yeah,
he
can do the whole collection for you. Just take it in there and check it out. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing quite well.
And who do you like in tonight's game, the Kentucky? A Wildcat team is there, not the one we wanted, the Wildcats versus the Huskies of UConn.
Well, I think, you know, if you're looking for high-powered offense and the best athletes, you're looking at the Kentucky team. If you're looking at a lockdown defense and a more experienced upperclassmen, then you've got UConn. I don't think anyone expected either of these teams to be here, but I think probably I would give UConn the very slight edge, but boy, Kentucky has come on mighty strong in this tournament.
And I noticed, and I follow you on Facebook, because you're kind of the go-to guy about basketball, Mr. Indiana. You know your basketball, but you posted on Facebook early on. I guess UConn was getting like blown out.
Boy, they
in the beginning of the ball game.
Yep, and they just really came back strong. I was really, really impressed with the coaching by Kevin Ollie. He's just done a phenomenal job of locking down the defense and making you earn your points.
Bruce, do you care who wins tonight?
No, Arizona's not playing, so the right Wildcat team isn't in there. The Kentucky Wildcats, though, certainly had an answer for number 44 from Wisconsin, Jaminski, as we didn't.
We didn't,
right. And that was I think that was really a big turning point in that game. If you like to watch a great college basketball team, watch the one tonight, because I doubt if any of the five starters for Kentucky will be back next year. They're probably all going to the pros, which is sort of one of the problems, I think, in college basketball today.
790-2040, 790-2040. It's our Monday political face-off. The big money that flows into American politics is about to get even bigger. The Supreme Court last week did away with more of the rules limiting campaign contributions that were imposed by Congress in the 1970s in response to the Watergate corruption scandal. Now, the supporters say the changes will foster free speech and provide more robust public participation in elections. The opponents say the changes will open the financial floodgates and give rich people even more sway in elections. Jeff Rogers, where do you fall on that argument?
Well, there's a little bit of truth to both of those. Let me first tell you what I think is the one silver lining of this, and that one silver lining is that there's going to be more disclosure if indeed and the parties and the candidates will be strengthened by this ruling. And that's because, you know, what we've seen in the super PAC tax and dark money over the past few years since the Citizens United case, we've seen that the money has flowed towards secretive organizations that don't disclose their donors. These donations that they're now saying that you can give an unlimited amount must be disclosed, because these are donations to candidates or to political parties. And there are many commentators, and I happen to be one of them, who believes that the disempowering of the candidates and the political parties actually causes more extremism in both parties, both Democrats and Republicans. And the parties are a bit of a mitigating influence on their own candidates in both parties. And so giving a little more power back to the parties and the candidates themselves might be the silver lining that we could see come from this. I am disturbed, though, about the trend this shows, together with Citizens United, that this Supreme Court seems willing to strike down virtually all contribution and limits on contributions of any kind, and that might be where we're going. Now, they didn't touch the current $5,200 per election cycle that an individual can give to a congressional or senatorial candidate. That's still in place. It's just that now you can give to all of them and not be subject to this bandit aggregate limit that limited how much you could give as a total amount to all federal candidates.
Do you applaud the decision, Bruce Ash?
I think it's, like Jeff said, I think it's a victory for political parties, the national political parties, for the various reasons that Jeff pointed out, which I think are very, very important. You know, we've almost forgotten, it's been, 12 years since McCain-Feingold, we've almost kind of forgot the way it was before McCain-Feingold, the kind of power the national political parties used to have, and state parties as well. I think that is a good thing. You know, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have been around for a long, long time. They are responsible. They are held accountable for their actions and for the actions of their party members and their elected officials. These organizations that Jeff described, and I take a bit of issue, except in some narrow instances where there's transfers from one CFAR to another C4, where there is very little, if any, kind of disclosure at all. I think Jeff would even have to concede that if I were to give money to a C4, you know, the Citizens United case, I would be logged in as a name that would be reportable to the IRS, but not one that would be reported publicly. There is disclosure. Right. It's just a limited disclosure.
And I think if you couple this ruling with some rather stiff disclosure requirements, we could be in for some, because people want to know where the money's coming from. And so, you know, now on the stuff that they just now ruled could be unlimited, that all must be disclosed.
Yeah, sure.
I'm all for disclosure.
Yeah.
And the Republicans used to be for disclosure too.
Jeff. Both parties are. And actually, the one area that I have a little different interpretation on what McCutcheon will end up doing, I don't think it's going to create any more money going into the political process necessarily. I think it will be, though, a different focus. It'll go more to the national political parties, who will in fact kind of become their own super PAC as a result of it. This is good to have control over your elected officials as well, because I will share with you kind of a little bit of inside baseball. You can't imagine the kind of punching in the gut and the kidneys and in the head that Reince Priebus has got over the last 3 years.
The head of the Republican.
From the NRCC as well as the NRSC. Right. Believe me, they have a whole different attitude toward him. And when they saw McCutcheon coming down, they had already begun really a different kind of relationship with him.
And like I say, I think that's the silver lining. If I'm looking for one, that's the silver lining of this. And you also have to realize that this case really applies to about 600 people in the entire United States who hit these maximum amounts. That's the number of people who actually gave that kind of money. Now, instead of being limited to $123,000, if these people structured it right, they could spend $3.2 million each. And that kind of money is a whole lot of money to be influencing elections. Now, will that happen? I'm not so sure. There might be a few people like Sheldon Adelson and the Koch brothers and a couple people like
that. There's nobody on the Democrat side who feels it's worth it.
Right. Well, there's no very few people except George Soros on the Democratic side who have
that kind of money. There are plenty.
We'll wonder how many people will really step up to bat and spend this kind of money. There are a few, and we saw that with the Adelson and the Koch brothers, and we'll probably see that again with them.
And as political parties gain strength again, I think. That also gives strength to the all of the individuals who support those parties, whether they be smaller donors or whether they be precinct committee men and women and you know, rank and file loyalists, you know, who work in elections and so on. I think this is a good thing for the participation. You don't see people that are out volunteering for independent expenditure committees, you know, Heritage Action or you know, George Soros's fund or you know, these are sort of, you know, the darker areas where you don't
exactly
really have political participation.
But it does remain to be seen, will that money that was going into the sort of what I call the dark money groups, mm-hmm. will that money shift back over to the political parties and the candidates themselves? I think some of it will. I hope a lot of it will.
Yeah.
But it remains to be seen how much of a real effect it'll have.
All right, that's Jeff Rogers, and Bruce Ash is with us as well. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. This is a good time to take a break. It is exactly 12:15. We'll be back on the Monday edition of The Face-Off.
Hi, this is Keith from American Openings. You've heard me talk about our replacement windows. Now listen to what some of our customers have to say.
Before we had the windows replaced, we could barely see out of them.
My windows were single pane, costing me more money and energy.
We called American Openings. They came out, measured all of our windows. There weren't going to be any gimmicks, no big surprises at the end.
He told us about the warranty and the process of the work.
When they said they'd guarantee it for life, I was sold. It was definitely a seamless scheduling process.
They installed these in one day, and I didn't think it was possible.
There was no drywall damage. There was no stucco damage on the outside of our home. No problems whatsoever with any of the custom orders that we needed done.
Everything went super smooth, and they did not have to go in and restucco anything.
They said what they were going to do, and they did it.
They really improved the looks of my home. I love them.
The choice for replacing your windows is clear. American Openings, Arizona's window manufacturer, 664-1202, or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Mori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Mori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Mori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Mori on the web at veroamori.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com, or call 498-4615.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're very easy to find, centrally located, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and they have a very nice Facebook page as well. Jeff Rogers is here. Jeff is former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, and on my right, he's seated on my right, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, Bruce Ash, who's now in his third four-year term. Is there a term limit on that?
No.
No. So you could...
I have a term limit. My wife has placed a term limit on me.
There you go. You were saying during the break that this decision by the Supreme Court last week about the rules limiting campaign contributions, doing away with more of those rules. You believe this is so far the big political story of the year, Bruce Ash?
Yeah, I do, to the extent that I believe, and I think Jeff would concur, that it will strengthen political parties. And this has been really a 12-year process where the influence and the power of national political parties has been eroded, not just by independent expenditure committees, but by candidates for both sides who kind of ignore their party and are outliers and, you know, aren't beholden to the party apparatus, for their actions when they serve in the Congress or in legislatures or in different, statewide and local positions. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal. And I think it creates a much different base, because the national political parties are the one organization who can coordinate with campaigns and can work the GOTV, the Get Out the Vote, and work all the parts of the campaign. And the candidates have largely been on their own doing this because they've been able to raise the money through other sides where they're not as accountable to those people.
Well, Jeff Rogers, should there be a limit on, I mean, you had mentioned that there's still limits on congressional candidates. I mean, are we going
there
in?
There's 2,600 per cycle within the election, so yeah. That's 5,200 you could give a Senate candidate or a congressional candidate. And I hope that stays the same. I don't see it goes up, you know, by some measure of inflation periodically. But I'd like to see those remain intact. And I worry that this decision, together with Citizens United, means that we have five votes to maybe get rid of all campaign contribution limits.
Are we going that direction?
This court seems to be doing that, and that, I think, would be a very bad
idea.
Well,
there's other cases working their way through the federal courts on those.
And so that would be, that worries me some. And it worries me a little bit to think that, you know, what if Bruce and I are wrong here, and this money that was going to what I call dark money groups instead does not go basically back to the parties and the candidates, but instead remains with the dark money groups, and yet we then see another bit of money flowing in this direction to the candidates and their parties. So, you know, it remains to be seen whether or not this will turn out as rosy as Bruce suggests, or as hopeful as I am, that it will indeed strengthen the parties and the candidates themselves.
And if thank you, Jeff. I appreciate where you're coming from on this. If I can also mention, going back to Watergate, where there was some, you know, money that...
Well, and Ab Scam was another good
sure.
one. Highly recommend the movie about that, by the way.
Yeah, what's the movie? I think I saw the movie.
Escapes me at the moment, but it's really really interesting movie.
Yeah, the one that came out just at the end of the year.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, really what we have was an effort, I think, by the courts and by legislative bodies, by, you know, ballots and referendums and so on, to create more limits of free speech, you know, on these political campaigns. But what we really haven't seen is any improvement, I think, in the whole political climate. It has led, I think, to a lot more extremism on both sides, and it has led to far more polarization on both sides of the political spectrum as well. And to the extent that, you know, now these things are coalescing, you know, through a political party, I think we're much more likely to see less polarization,
right,
and candidates that more represent the mainstream of the country, whatever that might be.
Right. And I hope you're right. That movie, by the way, was American Hustle.
That's
and,
right.
And it really, really captures that era and time just wonderfully. And I highly recommend it. It's a fun movie to watch.
Of the 80s when all that went down.
70s, 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and they really capture the era wonderfully.
So why not just do away with all of the limits?
Well, and that's worrisome because of the fact that, you know, you can put together some kind of contributions from average folks. And what we've seen the Supreme Court do is completely equate money with speech. And I think that's an oversimplification of it. And, you know, what you do now is if you can overwhelm the political process with nothing but money, then what happens to the communication between regular citizens, regular voters, and their congressman or senator? And we will see that kind of dissipate the more and more they become beholden to big money interest. And that's the big worry that a lot of people have.
They wouldn't listen. Maybe they're not listening anyway to the little guy now, but it would be more so.
More so. And that's the fear that people have. And it's a fear that I have. I don't think this case creates that kind of a problem all by itself, but together with Citizens United and many of the things that were said, particularly by Justice Roberts, you know, give me some pause to think that these guys are really, you know, have as their ultimate goal to remove all campaign contribution limits.
Well, the average gift to the Republican National Committee is about $56, and there literally are tens, if not hundreds of thousands, of those $56 or less gifts that are made every month to the National Republican Party. I think to the extent that people feel that their voice with $56 or $5,600 is going to be better heard because there's a stronger political party, I think it'll increase participation from rank and file donors, as well as people who want to participate in the system as well.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Richard, you're up to the plate. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey guys, you know, I think of course we do need limits on the amount of money. We need to know exactly where it's coming from. We'll never know that, though. But the other thing we'd like to have is some limits on these congressmen who, after they leave office, immediately go to work for a lobbyist or a think tank or some PAC somewhere, brokering out America, influence settling. Not talk how Jim Colby came on the radio. He raided our middle class, sold us out, and now he's with another think tank in Washington, brokering America off piece by piece.
Yeah, who is that?
Disgusting.
You kind of cut in and out there. Who was that? Your
Colby, I think. Colby. He's referring to. Yeah.
Colby, okay. In the way he sold us out, and now he's in a think tank up there selling us out more.
Okay. Right. Well, let's let our commentators.
Richard,
I share
your concerns about that, and that crosses both sides of the aisle. Democrats and Republicans both do that. Mm-hmm. Leave office, and join these lobbying organizations or so-called think tanks, and make a lot more money. And I'm troubled by that revolving door concept. There's not a whole lot you can do with it.
I was going to say, what could you do?
There are some people who advocate passing laws that say that a congressman cannot lobby Congress for 4 years or six years or 10 years or something.
Find out how fast that'll be in a federal court.
Yeah, and the problem is that there are a lot of laws that limit how you can limit people's work activity.
Right.
In this case, you could say, well, look, you knew this when you went into Congress that you couldn't turn around and use that revolving door to make a fortune. But, you know, I think they're going to be difficult to enforce, and they're going to be difficult to get Congress to pass because, after all, these are all congressmen and senators who are sitting there scratching their head about what their next move is. I'm a little bit cynical about that as well. So it's a difficult area, but I share your concerns, Richard.
Most of these guys were making far more money in the private sector before they went to work in Congress. And in the case of Jim Colby, I take exception to Richard's comments about him. There probably is no finer, no more noble person who has served in the U.S. Congress in recent memory than Jim Colby. He currently works as a fellow, I believe, at the German Marshall Fund, doing, I think, incredible collaborative work between you know, the United States and Europe. And he's to be praised for his work. You know, he's a pretty good man.
I would agree with that.
And I'd have to agree with that as well. I disagree with Jim Colby on quite a few things, but he was one of the Republicans that I actually had a lot of respect for.
We had him on recently, and yeah, he is involved in the better relations between North America and Europe. Jeff Rogers, always a pleasure. Thanks, Jeff, for coming in.
You're welcome.
And Bruce, good to see you. Hope
Thank
both
you.
Of you have a great week. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowland Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. You can find them on Facebook. We highly recommend their work. You will not be disappointed. And we will not be disappointed when we speak with former U.S. Army Chief of Staff General John Wickham. We will get his take on the recent news, the horrible news out of Fort Hood last week. That's coming up on the second half of the Buckmaster Show. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
April is Earth Month at UA Biosphere 2, where every weekend in April experience programs that will inspire a better understanding of our world. Weekend themes include the weather, ocean, energy, and Earth Day weekend, where special hands-on activities and live animals will be featured. Also new and just opened are the exciting ocean and rainforest gallery exhibitions. Both of these fascinating immersion projects are open daily. More at b2science.org. Visit Biosphere 2 today.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Just a few seconds away now from 12:35 on a delightful Monday afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs joins us the first Monday of the month, General John Wickham, who was the U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987. He was Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served 41 years in the Army. He's now retired in Oro Valley, and we are honored that he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. General, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bill. Thanks for the opportunity to be on your fine program.
There's some breaking news, and before we get to some of your reaction on the Fort Hood shooting of last week, there's movement now, and the Russians moving in eastern Ukraine. This had been a worry of a lot of people that now Mr. Putin would move toward taking over eastern Ukraine. What do you see happening over there right now, General?
Well, it's confusing, no doubt about it, Bill. The movement is not clear what it means. It could be just simply some police forces that have gone in there, military police forces, to help assure that Russian-speaking people are not penalized in fighting. Also, it could mean that this is preliminary to Putin doing some other actions to try to take over the Ukraine. But Putin has said repeatedly, we have no designs on taking over Ukraine. And given the pressures that Merkel and others in Europe have brought to bear on Russia, it would be foolhardy for them to do that. You know, Putin, who speaks fluent German, and Merkel, who speaks fluent Russian, talk to each other almost every day for over an hour. And so there is a constant dialogue going on, and that is a very healthy phenomenon. So I'm somewhat optimistic. On the other hand, I know Russia, and I studied Russian at West Point for 2 years and have been to Russia a number of times on official visits, so I realize that Russia is not necessarily a friendly nation, and they have got great angst over the loss of the Cold War.
General John Wickham with us. And General, you know, this action that's been going on by Mr. Putin, and by the way, I always learn something from you every month, and I did not know that about the heads of state of Russia and Germany speaking together for an hour. That's kind of fascinating. This action, does it reveal, General, a new phenomenon in foreign affairs, whereas states would ignore treaties and accepted international behavior by seeking their nationalistic interests by force if necessary?
Excellent point, Bill. It does. And that is the worry in the West, that what Putin is doing is perhaps revealing a new phenomenon in foreign affairs where a country can ignore established mores and established laws and just take over and do what it wants to do. And that is worrisome because it could lead to conflict in Europe. Now, on the other hand, our hands are not clean. We have pushed NATO eastward, right up against the Russian border. And Russia sees that as a threat. We've tried to put anti-ballistic radar and missiles in Poland, which we said, well, these are against Iran. Well, Russia didn't see it that way. They thought they could be used against Russian missiles. So we have, in a sense, and we've also brought into NATO many former Soviet republics. So they see this as a growing threat to a degree from the West, and that has caused their nationalism to become somewhat inflamed, and that's what I think is in part contributing to Putin's behavior, however irrational it may be. So we need to begin to a degree to be careful about how we make actions.
General John Wickham with us, 790-2040. I should have given out the number at the beginning of our interview, but General Wickham is always willing to entertain all questions and comments. Again, 790-2040. General Wickham, once again, Fort Hood is the scene, the military base of a domestic U.S. military installation tragedy happening last week. Is there anything that can be done to prevent these in the future? And what's the impact on security on military bases?
Yes, there are things that can be done, Bill, but let's not overreact. The reality is that in our society at large, civilian and military, we do not pay enough attention to mental behavior, mental problems. We have a lot of mental illness in America, and we ignore it to a large degree, and it is contributing to problems. Just think back about our beloved Gabby Giffords and almost being killed. Think about Newtown, Connecticut, and somebody walking into a school and shooting a bunch of children. Mental illness. The other factor that I think troubles me and a lot of people, there are too many guns in the hands of people in this country. It's too easy to buy a gun. It's too easy to walk into public places with a gun and to carry weapons concealed in vehicles. We cannot stop every vehicle going on to Davis-Monthan or any other military installation. It would take hours for the people to get on the place to do it. So we need to do a better job of restricting weapons getting into the hands of those who have mental problems, or even those who might have a choice to use them in anger. And it appears that this soldier at Fort Hood had an explosive temper. He may have had some mental illness. That's not abundantly clear yet. And he had access to a weapon, and he used it. Tragedy, of course. And there's going to be more of that, Bill. Some of it's caused with the veterans' problems. We've got, from the two wars we've just concluded, 2.5 million veterans, and it's now estimated by the Veterans Administration, over half of those veterans have serious illnesses that could very well affect their future lives and could very well affect their ability to interact normally with people. And we've got to do a better job of caring for them. I'm not sure every community does that. I know in Oro Valley, they've bent over backwards to help, and so has Tucson to a degree. But not many other communities are as aggressive in trying to deal with veterans the way Tucson and Oro Valley are.
And, of course, the cause of the vet frustration, some of these excessive recent deployments, it's hard to believe that some of these men and women wearing the uniform went over to serve over their 5 different deployments?
And it's right. And some of that, I saw that in Vietnam. Some of that is caused by people that want to go to war because they get better pay, because they don't have loved ones at home that care for them. So they find succor and they find happiness among comrades in combat. And I saw that in Vietnam when people would volunteer again and again and again to go over there. And there's some of that that went on in Iraq and is going on in Afghanistan. And we need to be much more attentive to restricting tours. I don't think, in my humble opinion, the Army was very enlightened with its tours. The Marine Corps, to its credit, restricted tours in Iraq and Afghanistan to 6 months at a time and brought them home to families. The Army insisted on a full year, too long. And if we don't have enough troops, the leadership should have gone back to the president and the Congress and said we need to increase the Army by 100 to 150,000 to be able to do this. I don't think the Army did that. So I'm not very proud of the way the Army handled this long war and this long deployment.
All right.
You're exactly right, Bill. We overdid it with deployments.
Yeah, we have so much to visit with General Wickham about, and that will continue on the Buckmaster Show, but we are going to take a break right here. 790-2040, 790-2040. This is the time that we give all of the Buckmaster Show listeners a chance to hear from the people who have really supported this program. We ask that you support them in kind. Thank you.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months' rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now!
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready!
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support!
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business!
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program brought to you by historic Silver City. Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great early spring getaway. It's only three and a half hours east of Tucson to the mile-high city of Silver City, somewhere around 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. It's beautiful over there. Plenty of great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila Guest Houses, and Continental Divide RV Park. You can find out more about the places to stay and things to do at Silver City, Grant County, and their website, southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome back now to the Buckmaster Show General John Wickham. He is our military and foreign affairs contributor, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. General Wickham, so many people in this community are concerned about the future of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. What's your take on this situation?
My take, Bill, is that Davis-Monthan is going to survive because of a variety of reasons. It's got good flying weather, it's got a good infrastructure, it's got a supportive community, but there's going to be, and there's going to be some cutbacks on capabilities. The A-10 Warthog, the Air Force maintains, and so does Chuck Hagel, the Secretary of Defense, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that aircraft is too old. Yes, it has been a wonderful close air support weapon systems, but it's too old and it needs to be replaced by like the F-35 and follow-on aircraft. And there's some wisdom to that. The time comes when we have to replace the older equipment and get new. So there's going to be some cutbacks. But Davis-Monthan can be home to a variety of other things, drones, surveillance aircraft, some refueling aircraft, some air transport aircraft. So it's going to survive. I'm optimistic about that. However, we as a community need to be attentive to the fact that under the base realignment and closure process that's underway or will be underway, where the military is trying to cut back on overhead, that every base is up for some sort of review and possible closure. And therefore, it's incumbent on local communities to make their case known back in Washington how important and how vital they regard their local base.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join the conversation with General Wickham. Many people are very upset about cutbacks in the armed forces. Despite all the political clamor over these cuts, General Wickham, is the defense budget, is it larger than a lot of countries?
You're exactly right, Bill. I think we need to step back and reflect a little bit on what's happening. Chuck Hagel's budget, which the Joint Chiefs of Staff totally agree with, and I agree with, do reduce our military capabilities somewhat. The Army is going to be smaller. It will be smaller than when I, excuse the hoarseness of bike riding too much in this windy weather.
That's right.
The Army is smaller than when I was chief, but it is our military's capability is going to be the best in the world, even under this budget. And we have a budget that is larger than the next 10 or 15 nations combined. So there's not a weakness there. And what's important, Bill, you understand this, we have to concentrate on research and development to acquire new weapon systems if we're going to be number one in the world in terms of modern technology. And we've got to rebuild our defenses at home. If we cannot be strong at home, we're not going to be strong globally. We cannot go back to the Cold War level of defense spending. And there are people that want to do that. Some in the Republican Party want to go back to the Cold War defense spending. In my humble opinion, that doesn't make a lot of geopolitical sense at all.
General Wickham, we have a call on the Buckmaster Show live line. Greg would like to speak with you. Greg, go ahead. You're with the general.
Thanks very much, Bill. General, I've got a question for you about some of the folks who could possibly enter our services, any branch of the military. The courts right now, let's say that they're sending people to prison for petty crimes. And I'm wondering if we don't have a policy in place right now, do you think we might want to screen some of these people and give them the option of the military versus prison? Because, A, it'll save the taxpayers $50,000 or $60,000 a year that we now pay to house them in prison.
Greg, excellent point. Historically, as you know, we were very liberal about letting people in, and judges were allowing people to make the choice. I'm either going to send you to jail, or you can go and enlist in the Army or Marine Corps or Navy. And a lot of people did. Unfortunately, as you know, from experience, some of those folks didn't turn out too well, and they had difficulty in the military. And right now is not the time for an open door from that kind of opportunity to the military, because there's going to be downsizing, and the military, all the services, are looking to let people out rather than to open the door and to bring some people in. But I think your point is an excellent one about sending people into some sort of productive service as opposed to sending them into prisons. We could do a better job in terms of some activity like the CCC. We used to have many years ago where volunteers could work in the forest trails or helping to maintain railroad systems. We could do more of that in America if we would open that up, if Congress would open up that as an opportunity.
Yeah, I think you're right. Find some productive service for these people rather than just warehouse them, General Wickham.
Amen. Amen, Bill.
We're just about out of time, but of course, North Korea is one of the areas where you are, where your expertise lies. You have all sorts of contacts. Is the tension level, just because we're not hearing about it on the news, is it still high on the Korean Peninsula?
It is very high, Bill. As you know, we've got to keep this in mind. North Korea has 6 nuclear weapons, and they have the makings of at least 6 or a dozen more. And they are building the capability to use intercontinental ballistic missiles to fire those weapons that will reach the United States. It's a dangerous, misguided country that starves its people. Even China has thrown up his hands, and I've been to China half a dozen times and talked with the political leadership and the military leadership, and even they say we can't tell the North Koreans anything. They're tough, and they don't listen to anybody. So it's a dangerous place. And the ominous thing I think that all of us need to reckon with is that the South Koreans and the Japanese are beginning to think that maybe they need to have nuclear weapons to protect themselves against this dangerous North Korea. And there are legislators in both of those countries that are talking about doing that. And they could. The Japanese, for example, have plutonium from their nuclear reactors in large quantity that could immediately be turned into nuclear weapons. So we need to get a handle on this. Unfortunately, Bill, we don't have any ability to talk to the North Koreans, and we're not doing very much in talking to the South Koreans or to the Japanese.
How close are they to getting a bomb that could reach North America?
They're within a year, they will have intercontinental ballistic missile that can reach the United States. They can reach Hawaii now.
Huh, that's very disturbing news. And if China can't keep them on the leash, that is dangerous.
Well, not only that, it can't keep them on the leash, but it's a country that's the basket case economically. And the danger is that it could implode, that you could get unrest that could lead to a crisis inside of North Korea that could cause them to do irrational things that could lead to war again on the peninsula. So we have to be very cautious over there as we pivot to Asia, pay attention to what's going on, but also pay attention to keeping our capabilities over there very capable.
All right. General Wickham, thank you very much. Sounds like you had a great bike ride today. And
thank you, Bill. God bless.
Great. General John Wickham, we always enjoy talking with him. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thanks, Culligan, for supplying the nice chilled water, the great Culligan water, to all of our in-studio guests. Everyone enjoys the arrangement. Coming up tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, then the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. We'll be back with you, Rosemary Brandt, Ace producer, and myself, Bill Buckmaster, with you at 12:04 on the Buckmaster Show tomorrow. And until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.